Thank you for that, Brother Terry. That was a blessing. And good morning, church. And it is also a privilege to be able to bring God's word to you today. And as I thought about it even this morning, here we are, already starting week 47 of 2024. This year has gone so fast, has it not? And we're already halfway through the month of November, which, by the way, in case you're wondering, is the greatest month of the year. And how many of you are born in November like me? Anybody? I knew we had some amazing people here this morning, amen, and we're all amazing, amen. And but anyway, when we think about November, I think what comes to our minds most times is Thanksgiving, right? And that's right around the corner, the Thanksgiving season. But let me ask you a question. What does Thanksgiving mean to you? As you sit here today, I'm sure that some people, your mind automatically goes to time off work, or off school, extended vacation, if you will. For others, it might mean feasting on turkey and stuffing and sweet potatoes and mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie and the whole lot of it, amen? Let's just pray and go home and eat, amen? That might be what you're thinking about. Some of you might be thinking about traveling and seeing family or having family travel in and see you and celebrating time together with loved ones and maybe just relaxing and perhaps pausing to reflect on a year that's quickly drawing to a close. But may I remind us today that Thanksgiving ought to be a time of reflection. Reflecting on the things that we're most thankful for. Some people think Thanksgiving is just an American holiday, but did you know this morning that long before Americans celebrated Thanksgiving, the Israelites were given by God some guidelines for observing the feasts of Thanksgiving there in the Old Testament. In fact, you'll see the verses here behind me in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11 reads, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning." And really, all through the Word of God, we see that giving thanks is not an option for the child of God, for the follower of God, but it's a command. Psalm 92:1 reads, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." 1 Chronicles 16:34 reads, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Colossians 3 and verse 17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Hebrews 13 and verse 15 reads, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Someone once made the statement, they said that the art of thanksgiving is thanks living. The art of thanksgiving is thanks living. Yet in our increasingly pluralistic society, many Christians today, unfortunately, are afraid to publicly mention God, let alone thank God for the many blessings that he bestows in our life. But the truth is, church, that everything we have today, it came from the Lord. The Bible says it this way in James chapter 1 and verse 17, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." In other words, we should never be hesitant. We should never be reluctant to give God the thanks he so richly deserves. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And someone says, "Brother Lowe, God wants to hear my requests." Yes, he does. God wants to hear what's on my heart. Yes, he does. But listen, God also wants us to remember that no matter what our requests may be, that he's already been so very good to us. And because of God's continual goodness in our lives, we ought to always be willing and ready to give thanks back to him. And I want to speak to you these next few moments that we have together on this simple thought: happy thanksgiving. Happy thanksgiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning and the dear folks that have assembled here today. Father, thank you for what has already been accomplished in our service. Lord, your name has been lifted up in praise, Lord, through song. Lord, just the time of fellowship one with another. Lord, thank you. Lord, nobody is here to hear me. I understand that. And Father, I don't want to be heard. But Lord, I pray that you take these truths. Lord, take this message that you've put upon my heart for this time, for this hour, for this people. And Lord, I pray if there be somebody in our midst or maybe watching on our live stream, Lord, I pray if they don't know Christ as their Savior, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd minister to that heart. And for those of us who know you, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us, Lord, to live out a life of thanksgiving, thankfulness, of gratitude each and every day. Bless this time we have in your word, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Why is it so important, this element of being thankful, of giving thanks, of having a heart of gratitude, why is it so important for the child of God? Well, I want you to see three things with me in our text this morning, and really these are three answers, if you will, to that question of why is it important that I, as a Christian, live a life of thankfulness? That it's not just, you know, one day of a calendar year, or 2 days, or a week of my calendar year, but it's every day of every year that I'm living a life of thanksgiving towards my God and my Savior. Three things, and the first you'll see is, number one, it's important because it reflects our heart for God. It reflects our heart for God. Look at it there in Psalm 100. Please keep your Bible open and ready. We're going to be going through the Psalm together this morning. But verse 1 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." So in other words, the presence of thanksgiving, that in my life, the presence of thanksgiving in my life, it's a reflection of what's going on in my heart. By the way, the absence of thanksgiving in my life is also a reflection of what's going on in my heart. Jesus made that very clear in the Gospel of Luke when he said in Luke 6, verse 45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." You ever met somebody like this to where, you know, it seems like they just have nothing but negative to say all of the time? It seems like everything that comes out of their mouth is derogatory or spiteful or mean. But then you meet other people, and it seems like every time you get around them, they're just encouraging, they're uplifting, they're just a joy to be around. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because that's what's down in their heart. And you can mark it down this morning that whatever is down in our hearts always has a way of working itself out by what we say or by what we do. Really, this heart of thanks we see has a couple of characteristics here in this psalm. We see in verses 1 and 2 that we're to make a joyful noise. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. We see that it's a heart of joy. Now, our Western minds, when we think of happiness, we connect happiness many times with circumstances, right? With situations, with what's going on in our life in the moment, our lot in life. That word itself, happiness, it comes from the Middle English word hap, as in happenstance or haphazard. This implies to us that happiness is merely the result of random chances or luck, if you will. But the Jewish thought taught otherwise. The word here in verse number 2, translated gladness in your Bible, it's the Hebrew word simha. It means, literally means to the location of one's thoughts. In other words, in Judaism, happiness, it didn't relate to what was going on in their life. It related to their thinking. That means that happiness could instantly be achieved by merely changing the focus of your thoughts. Instead of focusing and fixating on the things that you think are missing out of your life, instead, you focus on all what is present in your life. In other words, a heart of joy, it goes hand in hand with an attitude of thanksgiving. Psalm 95, verse 2 reads, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms."
In other words, God wants you and I as his people. Listen, he wants us to come before him with song. He wants us to come before him with an attitude of joy and praise and gratitude, because these are the reflections of a heart that says, Lord, it does not matter what else is going on in my life. Lord, I am so grateful for what you've already done for me. I'm sure many of you probably remember that old Sunday school song, you know, I've got the joy, 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 joy. What's the next words? Down in my heart. Ask yourself the question this morning, what is down in my heart? Because friend, if it is joy, then you're not going to be able to help but give thanks and praise to God today. So we see it's a heart of joy. We see it's a heart of service. You see that first word in verse number 2, he says, serve. In other words, this attitude of thanksgiving, it's inseparable from a heart that knows the value of service to God. In other words, when we are giving thanks to God, when we are giving praise to God, what we are really doing is that we're offering up a service. We're offering a heart of praise in response to God's great love that he's already extended to us. Former University of Florida and NFL quarterback Tim Tebow, of course, you know, was no stranger to criticism, being mocked on and off the field there because of his Christian beliefs. Well, one day he was asked in an interview, an ESPN interview, and the reporter asked, well, why do you feel like you have to tell others so much about your love for Jesus? And this is how Tim Tebow responded. He said, well, if you're married and you have a wife and you really love your wife, is it good enough to only say to your wife, I love you, the day you get married? Or should you tell her every single day when you wake up and you have that opportunity? He said, that's how I feel about my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing in my life. So every opportunity I have to tell him I love him, or if I'm given an opportunity to shout him out on national TV, I'm going to take that opportunity. And what a great testimony. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. In other words, we can't help but talk about and serve what or who it is that we love. And church, when we truly get a hold and we truly realize the love of Christ, the depth of the love of Christ towards us, we'll be so thankful that that will then spill out of us into our worship, into our praise, into our giving, into our service. Charles Spurgeon once said, he said, they are sure to praise God best who serve God best. It's a heart of joy. It's a heart of service. Listen, it's a heart of praise. Those of us this morning that were privileged with the responsibility of raising children, we know what it's like to have to teach those little ones how to say thank you. They get something, they get a piece of candy, you know, a little top, you know, what do you say? Thank you. You know, we have to teach them that. Why? Because that's not a natural response. What's natural, what's a human natural response is to take without thinking of the one who gave. And as our children get older, what do we expect? We expect that they learn how to show thanks, that they learn how to show some gratitude. So much so that when teenagers or even adults neglect to say thank you, we think that they're kind of being a little rude, right? In other words, when we don't feel like serving, you ever been there? I've been there. When we feel like we're not, you know, I don't feel like giving praise to God this morning. When we get to that level, that is a reflection of a heart that needs repentance, it needs adjustment, because quite frankly, it's just become too full of self. The attitude of a mature child of God says, Lord, I want to give you my praise because of everything that you've done for me already. At the age of 22, Baptist scholar Robert Robinson penned these words to a hymn that I believe demonstrate a great connection between thankfulness and praise. As he wrote out these words, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. And church, when we give thanks to God, we are reflecting a heart for God, a heart of joy, a heart of service, a heart of praise. In fact, just giving thanks to God builds those attributes more and more into our lives. Why is it important, Brother Lowe, that we as Christians give thanks to God, that we live a life of thankfulness each and every day? Well, it's important because it reflects our heart for God. I want you to see, secondly, it's important because it respects the ways of God. It respects the ways of God. Our psalmist here continues. Look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. In other words, the presence of thanksgiving in our life, it's an indicator that we know and that we respect the Lord for who He is. You say, Brother, who is He? Well, He's our sovereign. When we give thanks to God, we're acknowledging that God is sovereign, that He's the ruler of all. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 says, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. There are people today, they would claim to be polytheist. Poly, many, theist. Theism, so we get God, the word God, many gods. They would believe in many gods and many ways to achieve access to God or their version of heaven. But listen to me this morning. The basis of intelligent worship, it is acknowledging that all roads do not lead to the same place. In other words, church, listen, there is one God. Look at the text. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. There is one God, and friend, there is one way to know that God. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This upcoming Thanksgiving season, or even a few weeks behind that, the Christmas, we could say the holiday season, if there's anything for you and I to celebrate about, it's not ourselves. It's not what we were able to accomplish this year in our businesses or on the job or even in our education efforts. That's not what we have to celebrate. What we have to celebrate is the knowledge that the Lord is God. And that brings a whole new level of appreciation of thanksgiving into our hearts. I mean, our thanksgiving, it's conditioned upon who He is and how we relate to Him. But it also means that we can have hearts of thanksgiving, not just one day of the year or 2 days of a year or a week of the year, but that we could be thankful every day of every year. It's easy, right? It's easy to be thankful Thanksgiving Day. It's easy to be thankful Christmas morning. It's easy when you're surrounded by family and friends and presents. It's easy to be thankful when the food is plentiful and the gifts are being exchanged. But it's a whole lot harder to give thanks when January 2 rolls around. It's a whole lot harder when you start to get out of that holiday mode, when the challenges and the stressors and the routines of life begin to creep in once again. But to keep the heart of thanksgiving, we have to understand that no matter if the times are good or whether the times are hard, that the Lord, He is the Lord, He is God, He is sovereign, He is constant, and He is always in control. He's sovereign. We see He's also our Creator. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. In other words, when we give thanks to God, we are showing respect for our Creator and showing respect for His plan for our life. In other words, people who think that they're self-made, people who think that they're self-made, they can truly never be thankful because they do not know, neither do they acknowledge how they came to be. They'll never understand that not only did God create us, but that then also everything we have after that comes from Him as well. The hymn writer Thomas Ken understood that as he penned these words, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You see, friend, God wants us to know where we came from so that we can then correctly direct our thanks and praise back to Him and not at ourselves. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 says, Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Thirdly, we see that he's not just our sovereign, he's not just our creator. I love this. It's probably my favorite part of the message this morning, and please don't miss it. Listen, he's our redeemer. Aren't you glad this morning that God didn't just create you and just leave you out to just figure out life on your own? Just to do life on your own? God didn't do that. The Bible says that we are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. Understand, please, this morning, it is no light thing to be called a child of God. Some people have the thought, the idea, that just because you're born into this world, that you are somehow automatically a member of the family of God, that we're, you know, just randomly all God's children. But I want you to understand that that's not the case according to the Bible. In fact, when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, the unbelieving Pharisees and the priests, the religious leaders of his day, he debunks that philosophy, that thought that all people are God's children. He said in John 8, verse 44, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." In other words, my friends, nobody is automatically part of God's family. For us to be, for you to be a child of God, there must have been a time in your life where you recognized your identity as a sinner, that you needed a Savior, you needed a Redeemer, and that you received the gift of God that was bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, those very familiar verses, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Colossians chapter 1 says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Please understand this morning that God went to great lengths to ensure that you and that I would have a way of redemption. That's what Christmas is really all about, isn't it? Friend, if you want to have a great Thanksgiving season, if you want to have a great holiday season, the best that you've ever had, then can I encourage you to start it off, to begin it off by making sure that, first of all, you're truly a child of God? Would you begin it by placing your faith in the shed blood, in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you believe that he's not just a prophet or a teacher or a good man, like a lot of religions and cults will say, but he's God in the flesh? And that it is his blood that paid the price to cover your sins and mine? Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved," it says. If you're here this morning, or maybe you're watching our live stream and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're sitting here today and you don't know if you are one of his children, that you're one of his. Can I say that this morning, this day right here, was this November 17th, 2024, at 11:48 in the morning, that this is a great opportunity for you to come to Christ? Huh? And can I also say this, that it does not matter what you've done in your life? The Bible says that if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And so if the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God is telling you to turn to Christ and to acknowledge him as your Redeemer and your Lord, would you do that? But how wonderful it is this morning to know that not only did God create me, and not only does God, is he in charge and he's aware of everything going on in my life, but he also redeemed me. He redeemed me from the penalty of my sin. And can I say, church, if that doesn't cause us to give praise and thanks and rejoice to God, can I just say there's probably something wrong with our heart? Brother, why is giving thanks so important? Why should it be an integral part of my life as a child of God? Well, it reflects our heart for God. It respects the ways of God. I want you to see this as we close. Number three, it's important because it responds to the love of God. Look at verse 4 and 5. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Finally, we see that when we give thanks to God, we are showing a proper response to the great love that God has already shown to us. The psalmist here, as he's penning these words, he says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name." Scholars believe that this is most likely speaking of the nation, the people of Israel, entering into the gates of Jerusalem with a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of gratitude towards God. But as I thought about that even this week, I thought that the directive here could also be applicable to us as we enter into the local church as well. In other words, when we come to the house of God, we should not be so preoccupied with the stressors of life, the worries of the day, that we barely even know where we're at. The house of God, it represents God's presence among us. Therefore, we ought to enter into it with our heart and our mind prepared to respond to the love of God. You ever come to church, maybe this is you today, you come to church and you leave and you say, "Boy, I didn't get nothing out of that." We've probably all been there at some point. Can I suggest that maybe it's because we walked into the door of the church unprepared? And there's multiple ways for us to respond to the love of God from our heart. I understand that, but let me quickly give you two ways that I believe are directly related to giving thanks. The first is that we respond to the love of God, number one, with our worship. Now, when I say worship, I understand that sometimes people think automatically music. And more specifically, they think of a particular style of worship music. But the truth is, music is just one form of worship. Now, don't get me wrong, I love music. I think we have some phenomenal, some very talented people here at our church. I mean, the choir this morning was just amazing. And I was singing, I'm normally in the choir, and they probably sounded better this morning because I wasn't in the choir, but I was singing in my heart here. I love that song, "Behold Our God." Brother Terry, it just did a tremendous job. The song service, it's amazing. I wish you all could take turns and sit up here and just hear your voices coming up and hearing the choir behind you. It's amazing. I love music, and music is important, and music was created by God, and it is one of the ways that we worship God. But did you know that you can worship God without music? Worship is simply a state of your heart that's giving respect and admiration to God. Worship is an expression of our heart concerning the worth of God, how much we value the Lord. In church, one of the ways that we worship God is by giving thanks to God. In fact, thanks always involves giving. Whether we're giving our praise, whether we're giving our songs, whether we're giving of our substance, whether we're giving of our time, we are to do it with worship to the Lord. I heard this story years ago about a widow lady in India, and she arrived at her church, and she had an extraordinary large portion of rice on that morning. It was more than she could probably ever afford, and everybody knew that, and the missionary pastor knew that. And so he approached the woman, and he asked if she was giving this offering because of some unusual blessing in her life. And she responded, and she said, "Yes." She said, "My son was sick, and I promised that I would give a large gift to God if he got well." And the missionary pastor responded back to the woman. He said, "Oh, your son has recovered." And she said, "No, he died last week. But I know that he's in God's care, and for that I'm especially thankful." Church, isn't it true that sometimes the greatest opportunities that we have to worship the Lord come during the most difficult times of our life? During the darkest seasons of our life, we see that lived out in the book of Job. Job, after losing all of his wealth, Job, after losing his 10 children, how does he respond? He responds in worship. Job 1 says, "Then Job arose," verse 20, "and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" You see, my friend, no matter what situation is going on in your life, listen, you may be going through a difficult time right now. You may have just gotten through a difficult time. You may enter into a difficult time this week. But no matter what's going on in your life, we all have something to thank and praise and worship God for.
We respond with our worship, and then finally, we respond with our gratitude. I want you to see how this psalm concludes. Here, the psalmist, he tells us that we're to give thanks. The reason here, verse 5, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Here we see that God's goodness has made available to you and to me his everlasting mercy and his preserved truth. Do you understand that this morning? God's goodness to you has given you the gift of his everlasting mercy and his preserved truth. The Apostle Paul says that God also gives us victory in this life. He says in 2 Corinthians 2, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place." Charles Spurgeon said that when we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for the miseries, we usually end them. Praise is the honey of life, which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace. In other words, the heart that blesses God through the good times and the heart that blesses God through the bad times, that's the heart that truly understands what it is to be thankful. That's the heart that understands that no matter what's happening in my life or what has happened in my life, that God is good and God is God and God forever deserves my praise. So as I close this morning, that statement of the art of thanksgiving is thanks living. I want to encourage you, child of God. Are you living a thankful life? Are you taking time, as we sang just a moment ago, to count your many blessings, to name them one by one? When's the last time you just took some time and just thanked God? You have a time of prayer every day, and I hope you do, but just, you know, not asking God for anything, but taking time, just thanking God for his blessings in your life. Maybe you're here this morning, and listen, you don't know the Lord. Today is that great opportunity for you to come to Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? I appreciate your attention today. If you're a child of God this morning, listen, nobody should have to coax you into finding something to be thankful for. Gratitude ought to already be on your heart. It ought to already be on your lips. You're here today as a Christian. You say, "Brother Lowe, I'm saved today. I know heaven is my eternal home. And God used this message to encourage my heart to either begin to be thankful, to continue to be thankful, to reevaluate that my happiness is not hinging upon what's going on in my life right now, that it's a change of my thoughts." Maybe some other way God used this message to speak to you today. You said, "Brother, that's me," with uplifted hand. "Brother, thank you for the message. God used it in my heart." Many hands for the building today. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may put them down. Let me ask you one more question. If you're here today and you do not know Christ, we're not going to embarrass you. That's not what we do here. But we want you to meet the Lord. We want you to know the Lord. That's our heart today. But you're here this morning. Maybe you're a visitor. Maybe you have come a couple times. And maybe you're on live stream and you're listening somewhere in some part of the world. Maybe right down the street or maybe across the country. And you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, today could be that day. What a great opportunity God has given to you. I'm going to ask the pianist and the music team if they'll come and make their way to the platform. I'm going to pray. We're going to have an invitation this morning. Would you stand with me as I pray this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have so much to be thankful for. And Lord, I know you encouraged my heart through this message. Lord, and I pray that you would encourage others here today as well. Help us, Lord, to be living a life of thankfulness. Bless this invitation, I pray. I pray that you would just work in hearts this morning. Lord, if there's somebody here today not saved, Father, I pray that you would just, Holy Spirit of God, reveal yourself to them. Give them that boldness to step out and to speak to somebody today. I pray that you bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.